Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Mimi, your co-host for this evening, and this is December 6, 2017, and you are on Hidden Mysteries. You're listening to Hidden Mysteries. There's going to be a change of program for this evening. Unfortunately, Reverend Maria had a family emergency, so she won't be with us this evening, but I'm sure she'll be on our next show in January. But in the meantime, I have two wonderful guests with us this evening. They are the producers of the Home Invaders variety show here in Staten Island, Hector Boza and Rosanna Robinson, and I'm going to bring them up right now. How are you two? How you doing?
Hello.
How you doing?
How are you? The hardest, fastest on cable access TV is going on radio now. How did
that
feel?
I would have done that, Miriam.
I would have done that, but he didn't pay me in advance, so I wasn't going to give him the free PR. This evening, this was an emergency situation, and you two were wonderful to step in at the last minute, I figured, this evening, it'll be like an off-the-cuff, shoot-the-breeze on anything paranormal, because those who listen in, they know that Hidden Mysteries is all about what the unexplained, the things that people just still haven't got answers for, because we're in the physical body, and until we leave here, we really don't have the answers. But we can at least try to figure things out, So I wanted to sort of like give the two of you the chance to see what topics you would like to discuss this evening, or perhaps you have some experiences of your own that maybe you'd like to talk about, and so we could discuss.
Well,
so I'm
going to
put it in your bull court.
The one thing that I always wanted to, always had an inkling about is when you have past lives here, do you always make the same mistakes over and over again, even though you try to correct them?
Okay,
that's a good question. I'm glad I came up with a good question. That's a good thing.
Bad questions, Yeah. Whatever I say is from my own perspective, everybody has their own perspective on things. And, from my experiences and from my ideas on the whole situation, first of all, we come in every lifetime because there are certain things that we want to experience. Is that like a radio in the background or something like that?
Yeah, no, actually, we're stuck with it. It's where we are. It's the background.
Okay,
sorry about that.
Okay, all right, no problem. So, we're going to have like certain things that we wish to accomplish every time we come into a different lifetime. And if there are certain things that perhaps and it's all going to be different for each person, because each person has their own agenda. It's not going to be the same. You're not going to have like a cookie cutter type of multiple life agenda, So if a person has a certain thing that they want to accomplish in a particular life, perhaps if they didn't get far enough, or if they felt that they didn't accomplish enough, they may try to pick up with it in another lifetime and perhaps go a little further with it. Sometimes some beings will just like say, I did enough, that's it, I'm just going to start with something else. So it's not like saying that, just because you had something negative happen in one lifetime, you have to constantly be stuck with it, And you can change your path at any point. So I don't like when people think that they have to constantly be like, stuck with these problems, because you come into every lifetime anyway to resolve them or to find a good way of accomplishing something. So there's always like wherever we are on our path, if we wish to find an answer, we'll find an answer. So it's just, I just don't want people to think that they have bad luck constantly following them, because I don't feel that that's the case. Does that in any way answer your question? What were you going to say?
Hector?
Where'd he go?
He's there somewhere. Okay, so I'm going to say, Do you think it's true that we actually pick the choice, that we actually pick the lessons that we want to learn each time? Or do you think it's just happenstance?
No, I don't believe in happenstance. I believe that we come here with some sort of a blueprint. We may change things along the way, but we are basically, we have free will in everything. Even when we come here, we have free will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And especially when we're on the other side of it and we're creating what our life path is going to be, it's all up to us. So we're going to choose, and believe me, it's, you know, how we think physically, you know, in the body, and what we think when we're not in a physical body, it's going to be two totally different things. So what we think is hard through what we're doing here now, the spirit does not think it. They consider it a challenge, and they're more than willing to go through whatever they have to go through in order to accomplish what they want. So, you know, it's like we have like two different sides to us. That's how I always feel. I always like feel like I'm looking at, you know, things from two different perspectives. So I know, like, you know, when we're in that level of consciousness, we don't feel like any of this is like so difficult. We consider it probably like an awarding experience, no matter what we have to go through.
I think it's always been a fascinating concept to me that many people have theorized that Jesus was an avatar,
mm-hmm.
that he had actually
right.
been a normal person, and that he had achieved, I guess you'd say, nirvana, and had decided mm-hmm. that he would come back to help teach people how to reach that next higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you? It kind of, I kind of think it's an interesting idea.
Mhm. And in other words, like, you know, what's his, why
an actual
he,
avatar?
It's like he's, right. And the mere fact that he accomplished what he needed to, why in the world would he decide to come back? In other words.
But.
I mean, that, is that the perspective that you're coming from?
Yes. Yeah. Do you think it's possible that it's not just the whole.
Mm-hmm.
mythos bit of the whole Judeo-Christian mythos, but that
mm-hmm.
it was possible that that might have been true? Because I believe everyone's free to believe whatever they want, because until we get to
right.
the other side, we don't know who or what is right.
Right, right.
So do you think that that had any play in that, so to speak, if that makes sense? Because I think he was supposed to be the greatest teacher of all time. And
right.
to be an avatar, you're a teacher. So,
right.
I don't know. It's just an interesting concept to me. And I'm sure there are people who are going, heretic, heretic.
Yeah, I know. Thank God people are hiding the matches nowadays. But what I was going to say was that, you know, a person, again, it's their choice if they want to come back. Because a lot of times people come back because they want to help raise the level of consciousness, spiritual consciousness in our reality. And because, you know, since we went through the shift and everything in our earth plane many years ago, that's exactly what's been going on. It's our consciousness has been increasing and raised and being raised. So a lot of beings like Christ, like so many other beings out there who are on that level, they have come here, even though they have there's no reason for them that has to come, because they don't need to on their level of experience, because
right.
they've gotten to a certain level where they have no need to, but they desire to because they want to help others reach that same level. So I do feel that there are many angelic beings such as Christ and other angelic beings who have done that. So, you know, you can get as, you know, to whatever level you want in the physical reality. It's up to you what you wish to do after that.
I wonder too, speaking as avatars, I wonder how many people actually reach that level.
Mm.
Or how do you know? It's an interesting idea to go, well, how do you know that you can actually attain that goal of reaching that level? And, then do you, is it forced upon you, or do you just have the option to go, you know what, I want to give back. I want to make a contribution.
Yeah.
I want to come back and help.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that anything is forced on anybody, and I believe that that's all free choice. It's not like, you know, like you're in a physical plane and you're like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, I got to take this job because I have no other choice. You know, I've got to go down that life path because, you know, where else am I going to, what else am I going to do? And everybody's telling me that's what I'm supposed to do in society. You know, it's, we, you know,
we
on the physical level.
Everybody tells us what we should do here.
Yes. Exactly, and that's how we think everything is. You know, people get they think that whatever we do in the physical realm and whatever the laws are that we obey is exactly the way it is in the spirit level, and that's not the case because we don't have those same type of things that we have to achieve, because on a physical level we're always trying to achieve this success and this level of trying to make oneself feel that they've achieved something, and it goes beyond that. You know, we utilize that type of means of achieving things. Whereas on a spirit level, there's no we wouldn't have that type of belief structure. There wouldn't be any need for it because our belief structures are based on fear and scarcity and lack. Whereas on a spirit level, it doesn't have that same type of level of thinking. So it would be an individual's choice to do that. You know, they wouldn't be pushed into it. It would be certainly their choice. And so we certainly have that choice every time we leave, you know, whatever life we're in at this point, and we go on and transition, we choose what we wish to do next, you know? You know, we can hang out for a little while if we want to and figure it out, you know? And they'll certainly help us. You know, look to see how we need to, where we need to go, or what we wish to do. You know, maybe you want to dimension hop. You know, you know,
that's
I would like to do that.
So do you?
I would too.
Yeah.
I know we're both movie buffs. I know that much. And do you see the movies depicting the way the spirits move? Such as in the Amityville Horror, and in some of the other movies that they said that has been haunted, and also why is it so hard for them to go to transition into the light? In when they want to stay, for some reason they don't want to leave, or it's very hard for them to leave. It's not about the transitioning of us going, all right, well, I just want to stay because I think I can help people, or I'm still lost, or I'm still stuck here because I think it's the 1920s.
Right.
But, it's a lot.
Yeah, I personally think that there's so many answers to that, because, like, again, I always say there's no cookie cutter explanation to anything. You know, some of the things could be residue from a trauma from the past that just keeps on looping through, you know, into our dimension. Some of it could be that there are beings who, you know, there's a lot of guilt that they feel upon leaving, and sometimes they're afraid to move on because of what they perhaps might meet on the other side, you know. And then there are situations where, like in certain hauntings, you know, and I'm not going to mention any one particular one because I haven't, you know, I haven't had experience in any one particular one to know all of the ramifications of it, but in some I'll take my own, you know, life for instance. When I was younger, you know, we lived in a place in Brooklyn in Crown Heights that was especially paranormally active. And what I grew to believe, and this was like from all the books that I was reading and research I was doing over the years, that a part of the problem was the fact that my mother and I, and even my sisters to a certain extent, were very psychically what's the word, like highly energetic psychically. And the fact was that a lot of the times our lives had a lot of negative results, and a lot of that was a problem. So when you have a lot of emotional energy, you tend to draw certain things to you. And I feel that sometimes in some of these hauntings, and I don't know any specific one because I can't really, you know, cite any particular one, there, right, some of those could have had been a result of the psychic energy of the people there. Because a lot of people aren't normally going to know, like, oh, I'm putting out all this energy and all these intentions and all these thoughts, and that's what's creating it. They immediately jump to the conclusion where it can be a haunting. Of course, there are some that can have beings that are drawn to it, you know, entities that perhaps, are still stuck in a place, you know. That, I mean, there have been, you know, situations where people are somehow tied to an object, you know. So I think that there are many different answers to that question. I don't think it's just one thing, you know, because I know some people say, oh, it's definitely this, it's definitely that. I think there are so many things. Like, I know somebody who had an experience when she went to a gas station many years ago in Brooklyn, and she heard this voice of this man yelling from some area or like location on the spot there. There was nobody there she physically can see, and she found out from somebody who owned the place that somebody had been killed the night before. And she found out that that poor spirit somehow was so traumatized over what happened, he didn't realize that he had passed away. So she had to somehow help him move on, you know. So there are so many different scenarios that, you know, you would have to, I don't, it's like, I don't believe in dream books because I feel like every dream is personal, you know? So I feel the same way about these paranormal experiences, you know? And I'm sure the people who lived through the Amityville horror did go through a horror, you know, of what the elements were. I don't know, you know, I can't really say, but
right,
I mean, they certainly are quite stirring stories, you know?
I know you had an experience with the Lizzie Borden story, the Lizzie Borden house, if I remember correctly.
Because I went to the Lizzie Borden house, was about a year ago, with some friends of mine who, we're all Lizzie Borden crazy people, and we love Lizzie Borden. And I felt something, you know, near me, touch me, whether it was Lizzie or whomever, I don't have any clue. Could have been other beings who had lived there, because, yeah, there was this one, you know, they had a paranormal event going on there that was conducted by the scared guys, you know, Chris Mancuso and I forgot his last name. But they did like they were trying to get EVPs, and they had, you know, we were in a room and we're getting an EVP, and then all of a sudden somebody heard a baby cry in the hall on the second floor, and there was two people who heard it. Now, when we were in the room, we didn't hear, and that's where the EVPs were being conducted. But later on, and they told Brian, and he said, you know, did you hear that? Did you hear this baby cry? Well, later on, they re-listened to the EVPs, and they actually heard a baby crying. In fact, they played it for all of us. We heard a baby cry. Now, nobody had a baby in the house. It was like late at night, you know, all the houses were like, you know, dead dark and everybody asleep. They heard it in that particular house. It wasn't like they heard it out on the street or anything like that. They heard it in that house. Well, they found out that the people who lived before the Bordens had a woman who had postpartum depression, and she had killed her children. So they believe that that might have been the cause of the baby crying. That could have been something that perhaps occurred, and that was like a traumatic emotional energy that was perhaps stuck in that house for all those years. And who knows, could have fueled what happened with Lizzie at some point too, you know, and everything that occurred, you know, with the murders, you know, because, you know, if you feel negativity in a home, and you're a very sensitive person, you feel it very strongly, and that can affect you in your life if you don't realize that it's coming from somewhere else and it's not coming from you. You may think it's coming from you and you don't understand, oh, I'm a very depressed person. It could be the environment that you're in based on what was there decades ago, you know. So you can, you know, so that was my experience there, you know, in that. Have either of you ever had like a paranormal experience like that?
Myself, I had one. Well, I've always been clairsentient, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
I could always tell when something bad was going to happen. Never when something good.
Oh, me too.
And from what I've heard,
yes,
it's usually easier to pick up on the vibrations of something negative. Like even,
yes,
I won't read my own tarot cards for that reason, because every time I read my tarot cards, I always find something that's very unpleasant, like a miscarriage, a death in the family, things like that. Ugh. It's always something that's traumatic. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, God, why did I have to find this out? You know,
yeah,
why did it have
right,
to be
right.
true? Ah. But I've always been clairsentient and could feel vibrations of, if I'm in a place where there's negativity, I can feel it. And sometimes,
yes,
I've had it actually make me physically feel sick, or I'll get snippish, or I'll get anxious, and it'll manifest that way. But my mother personally had one when I was about 12 years old. My mother and I shared a master bedroom, and she had a twin bed on one side of the room. I had a twin bed on the other side of the room. And the only way I could get away from my mother and have time alone was to take my books into the bathroom and read. So this one particular night, I went into the bathroom, and I'm reading, and I'm in there for like an hour, and I'm literally just sitting there reading. And I come out, and my mother had been, she was bundled up in the blankets, and I took the blanket off of her head. She said, "Were you just playing a joke on me?" And I was like, "No, I've been in the bathroom for an hour." And she's like, "Seriously, look, you can tell me the truth. I'm not going to get mad. Were you playing a prank on me?" And I said, "No, I have literally been in the bathroom reading my book for the past hour." I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I'm laying here, and I've got the blanket up over my head. And all of a sudden, I felt like somebody had pushed down on the bed by my feet." And I just lay there because I thought it was you kidding around. She said, and then the pressure got off the bed, and then it was like somebody was pushing it again. And this happened a few times. Then it felt like somebody had literally stood up on the bed and had straddled my ankles. Like they had one foot on one side, one foot on the other, and they were rocking back and forth from side to side. She said, and I thought it was you. And then I was like, no. And my nickname was Baby. She was like, no, Baby wouldn't do that. And she just stayed very quiet. And she said, after a while, the motion got quiet. And then she felt one foot come off and then the other foot come off. And she said, seriously, was that you? And I'm like, I swear to you, I didn't do that. And we were both kind of freaked out because it was something that was it was like a physical manifestation, like a poltergeist, because it literally was moving the object. We don't know why it happened. It never happened after that. But that apartment always kind of gave me a creepy feeling. I always had a feeling in that apartment like there was something watching. If I could say the walls were watching me, that's what it felt like, because it's like the walls were alive and they were like attention to what was going on, because there was nobody actually physically present, but it was just this feeling like, is there somebody here? And so when she told me about that, I was really happy when, like a year and a half later, we moved out of that apartment and I never had to deal with that feeling again. But that was really creepy.
I've never had one per se. But what I can say is that I've had a lot of readings. And the problem with readings that I don't understand is when you get a reading or when somebody reads you, do you have to believe first and then when you take the reading, you have to believe that it's going to happen? Or is it the fact that they'll give you a reading and whether you believe it or not, it should happen when it comes to reading?
I think it's kind of asking a couple of different questions. First of all, a psychic is basically going to read what is probably prominent on your life path at that moment. So it doesn't have anything to do with your believing or not. It's just that that's what they're perhaps seeing, that wherever you are on that path right now, that's where what may come up. Now, be aware that the path changes. It's like, again, I always say, people, you got free will. The path doesn't have to always end up there. It's your choice. So if you decide to end up there, that's what you're going to do. But it's not going to be like a conscious thing a lot of the times. It's just basically they're going to read where you possibly could be going at this moment down the path that you are at that point. So it doesn't really have anything to do with belief or not. And you're going to change your life on your own one way or the other. And if the psychic gives you the right mm-hmm. information to, let's say if they see something that needs to be changed, they can help you to change what might be a negative situation. So, and that comes from your intentions, from your thoughts, perhaps past negative experiences that can fuel it. So there's a lot of things that can move you to a certain point in your path. But it doesn't have anything to do with belief, because
because a good reader, you should have to go, once a month? When should you go for a reading? Once a month, every 3 months?
I think it's up to the person. Like, if I have something that I really have, that's really bugging the hell out of me, that's when I will go and try to get somebody to give me psychic spiritual advice. That's when I use it. Because, because I know down deep, one way or the other, I'm going to change things as I'm going along, and I'm consciously going to create my path anyway. It's you have to participate in your life. You can't, when they give you a reading, let's say you got to ask questions. Don't just say, oh, okay, whatever you said, okay, and put it into your head and just put it away.
It's locked in
stone. Ask them questions.
Yeah.
You have to participate, in everything that they say to you. Like, they tell you a certain thing, like ask them more questions about it, because they're just giving you a generalized idea of what could happen. Now, we're coming down to the end of the show, but I'm thank you so much for asking me such amazing questions. Such interesting, insightful questions,
It'll be great to be back on the show again to ask you more amazing questions.
But, yeah, thank you so much. And, and if anybody else out there who would like to perhaps come on and, we can schedule a time that you can come on, ask questions of myself and Maria, I'd be more than happy to. You can get us through Blog Talk Radio or get us on Facebook.com/Hidden Mysteries. In the meantime, don't forget to join us again next month when Reverend Maria and I will be back. And you can get in touch with Maria at 631-559-1248. That's 631-559-1248. And you could also get her on mariadeandrea.com. And you could also get in touch with me at mquestmedia.com and drop me an email there. But thank you all for joining us. And I'm very sorry that we couldn't do the topic that we had on our program for this evening, but next month we will, and I hope you've enjoyed our show. So until next time, we'll see you again on Hidden Mysteries.